hear about a guy who was up preaching. He was preaching on the text, "The Lord will fight our battles." And he got into that sermon, and he's preaching away, and his coat was unbuttoned like mine is right here. He said, "The Lord will fight our battles." Well, when he did that, his coat came apart like mine did, and he had a .38 special sticking right there. And when it was over, a deacon came up to the pastor and said, "Pastor, if the Lord's going to fight our battles, why you got that .38 special on your side?" He said, "That's just to hold him off till he gets here." I tell you, Mikhail and Aaron did a great job preaching this morning. Those of you who missed that, you missed a blessing on those guys. Unlike this young fella out of the hills of Kentucky, where I'm from, Kentucky, and he was called to preach, but he had never preached before. And so when he got up to preach, unbeknownst to him, he was well-liked, and everybody, it seemed like in that holler and on that mountain, came to hear him preach. The place was packed out. They brought out chairs, and they're right around the front. They're everywhere. Well, when he saw that crowd, he really got nervous. And so when the pastor introduced him, he came up, he laid his Bible down. He was going to preach on the second coming. And so he remembered his text, and he said, "Behold, I come quickly." And everybody just sort of leaned forward to catch what he was going to say next. He was hoping he could lean forward and catch what he was going to say next, because he couldn't think of anything. His mind went blank, and everybody was waiting. But he did remember, they taught him in school, that if you've announced your text and nothing's happened, just repeat it. Amen. With a little force and words would flow. So he said, "Behold, I come quickly." And everybody leaned forward a little further. And he couldn't think of anything. Now his hands are sweaty. His knees are shaking. And everybody's waiting. So is he. He did remember they had taught him in school that if you have given your text twice, nothing's happened, just back up 3 or 4 steps, repeat your text with a lot of force, and run forward and pound the pulpit and words would flow. So he backed up and he said, "Behold, I come quickly." And he ran forward and he swung, but he was so nervous he missed. And he fell off the platform in a big fat lady's lap. And he said, "Lady, I sure am sorry." She said, "That's all right, son. You told me 3 times you were coming. I should have got out of your way." What a privilege it is to be in the Landmark Bible Conference and to be here this morning with all of you and our young friends over here. And we appreciate them. It's always exciting to speak to young people because you don't know what you ought to say to them. First of all, they already know everything. That's why you ought to get married while you know everything. Go get a job while you know everything. Because later you're going to find out you don't know anything. I did hear about this one guy. He was in college, and he had taken all of his required courses, but he had an elective to take. So he went to see his guidance counselor, and he said, "Prof, what should I do? I have one course. I don't know what to take." And he said, "Well, why don't you take ornithology?" He said, "Ornithology? Ornithology, the study of birds." He said, "I don't like birds. I don't care about birds." He said, "Well, that's all the more reason why you ought to take a course on birds so you can learn something. It'd be good discipline for you." Well, he convinced that young fellow that's what he should do. So he signed up for that elective course on ornithology. Well, after just a couple weeks, he found out that studying birds was pretty interesting. He got interested in it. He said, "This is fascinating." He started learning about nest building and the different kinds of birds and all kinds of habits of birds and so forth. And he really was excited about birds. And it came up to the final exam, and he thought, "I'm ready. I know all about birds. I have studied birds. I'm ready for this exam." Well, he went into class, and the professor said, "I want you to turn your paper over, write your name in the upper right-hand corner, and you may begin. And when you're finished, you can leave." Well, he turned the paper over, and before he could write his name, there were 25 pairs of bird feet. And the test was, identify these birds. He said, "This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I've been studying about birds. I know about birds. I know about their mating habits and their nesting habits, and I know this and I know that." Now he's talking out loud. He's getting worked up, and he said, "This is the stupidest thing I have ever seen in my life." And the professor said, "Young man, come here." He walked up there, and the professor said, "What's your problem?" He said, "Prof, I signed up to study about birds. I started learning about birds. I know something about birds. I was ready to take an intelligent test about birds, and you have this stupid test about identifying these birds by looking at their feet. He said, young man, I don't like your attitude. What's your name? He just leaned on. He said, you tell me. Would you open your Bibles to Psalm 119? These are my life verses. Psalm 119, verse 161 and 162. Now, Psalms is right in the middle of the Bible. It shouldn't be too hard for you to locate. 119 is a three-digit number. Verse 161 and 162, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice that thy word is one that findeth great spoil. May it please the great God of heaven that formed all things to stamp his divine approval upon the reading and the preaching of his forever settled in heaven word of God. And would you pray with me and for me, please? Dear Father, for a few moments, would you help us and bless us? Meet every need, speak to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Some years ago, there was a game show that was hosted by one of those high-powered, high-tech, personality-type guys. And the program was called Let's Make a Deal. Now, here's what he might do. He might come out and he would just be a ball of excitement and a ball of fire, and he might say to this young man, he said, young man, if you have a pocket knife in your pocket, I'll give you $500 right now. Well, of course, the kid's looking for I've got one. Okay, here's your $500. Now, if you want, you can keep the $500, or you can trade it for what's behind door number one. No, I want the $500, so we keep it. Another guy might say, I'm going to trade it. He might say to a girl, he said, now, if you have nail polish in your purse, I'll give you $500. And so she's looking for nail polish, and she could either keep the money or she could trade it off. Well, let's you and I make a little game show today. And we're going to allow one of you to come up on the platform, and you can be the person who's going to make a deal. And so that person is you. You're up here. Now, all your buddies, they're excited for you. They're cheering you on. And I say to you, now, here's what you could win today if you do what you're supposed to do. You could win what is over here behind this door, a new car. You're all excited. And somebody, Brother Cruz, he tells us what the car is, what year, and what the make, and so forth is. And I say to you, you could win that car. But not just that car. You could also win a two-week all-expense-paid vacation to Hawaii. Now you're really excited, and your friends are saying, yeah, yeah, go, go, go. Now all you have to do to win this car and this two-week vacation is that you have to guess the cost of the retail price of the car and the two-week paid vacation in Hawaii within $500 without going over. And so you're thinking about it. Now your friends, they're hollering out what they think it is. And so I say to you, are you ready? You say, I'm ready. And so you guess the number. And I say to you, you're right. You have just won a new car and an all-expense-paid two-week vacation in Hawaii. Man, you are excited and your friends are excited for you. And I said, but wait just a minute. You can keep the car and the two-week all-expense-paid vacation to Hawaii if you want, or you could trade it for what's behind curtain number one. Now, let me tell you what the mystery prize is. There are people in the world who have died to get one. There are people in the world who would give everything they have to own one. And there are people in the world who have one who would rather die than be without it. You can trade off your car and your two-week vacation and take the mystery prize, or you can keep your car and the two-week vacation. Now you're thinking and your friends are saying, go, go, no, no, yes, yes, go. And finally, I say, you have to make up your mind, and you say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to trade it off. I said, okay, you've just forfeited your car and the two-week paid vacation to Hawaii. And the curtain opens up, and someone pushes a table out. And on this table is a box. And I say to you, there's your prize. Now, you're excited. You just gave up a car and 2 weeks in Hawaii. You take the lid off this box. You look in the box. And inside the box, there is a black, leather-bound Bible.
Amen.
How do you feel about right now? How do the friends that you brought with you feel about right now? How does everybody else feel about that right now? You just gave up the car and the 2 weeks in Hawaii for a Bible. Now, let me remind you, cars have a way of getting wrecked, wearing out, rusting out. When you start the 2 week vacation, in 2 weeks it's over. But the Bible is forever settled in heaven. And the Bible will tell you how to go to heaven. And the Bible will tell you how you can be happy on the journey going to heaven. If I were to tell you, I know something, that if you would get this something would change your life forever. This something would make you smart. It would make you happy. This something, it is something that is, it just throws light on things. It is, it's true, and it lasts forever, and it is really better than money, and it's sweeter than honey. And this one, this thing would tell you, be careful. And then it would reward you. So, well, what is such a thing? The Bible.
Amen. Amen.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. When I thought about speaking to the students at Landmark Baptist College and high school, this church is known for taking a stand for the Bible. But there's a difference between Pastor Carter taking a stand for the Bible and those of us who hear him take the stand for the Bible and us getting into that Bible. You can have the right Bible, and we do, but you got to get into that Bible. And the Bible's got to get in you. You never have found a backsliding Christian who stays in the Bible, stays on his knees, and stays in the house of God. You get out of the Bible, you get off your knees, you get out of church, and you're subject to do anything. My life's verse, I was a salesman one time while I was going to college. It started raining, and I wasn't going to go door to door while it was raining, so I just sat down, and I started reading my Bible, and I came across this passage in Psalm 119. I said, that's a good passage. So I'll just let that be my life's verse. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Now, I'm not a guy who uses the word awesome very often. I think the word awesome ought to be reserved for something that really is awesome. You know, to some people, everything is awesome. Just say something to them and they'll say, awesome. I don't do that. I reserve the word awesome for something like the Grand Canyon. If you've ever seen the Grand Canyon, I wish I would have discovered the Grand Canyon when I was some of you younger folks' age. When I discovered it, I would go out and walk it about every year, and I love going to the Grand Canyon. It's one of my favorite things, though it's one of the toughest things I ever do. The first time I ever saw the Grand Canyon, you go to the Grand Canyon National Park. It's in Arizona. You pay your money to get in, and then you start driving, and it looks like South Georgia. You're just going through these little pine trees, and you think, where's the canyon? And for about 5 miles or so, you're just going through what looks like South Georgia or North Florida. Then you park at a place called Mather Point. There'll be other people that have parked there too. You get out of your car and you follow the concrete trail. There's some iron rails there. And this is the way you go see the Grand Canyon for the first time. You're just sort of walking up and you go, huh! Because you've never seen a hole like that hole. That hole is about 18 miles across. From start to finish, it's about 300 plus miles long. Now you don't get to see all that because you can't see that far at one time. If you went straight out from Mather Point, just straight out to the middle and dropped a pebble down to the Colorado River, it would fall about a mile. We're talking about a hole. When you see that hole, it'll take your breath away. Now that's what David said his heart did to the Word of God. America could have revival if we could get the back in the Word of God. Now there's a difference between and this expression. Did you catch that? There's a difference between as opposed to Pastor Carter. He says, I want you to open your Bible. Now, if he said, I want you to open your Bible to John 3:16, a lot of people would go, you know why? Because you think you already know John 3:16. You know everything about John 3:16. He couldn't possibly teach you anything about John 3:16 because you know John 3:16. That's the way people sit in churches, whether it's in Fort Myers or in Haines City or wherever you are from. People are sitting in churches all across America Sunday after Sunday, and they have the, just try to teach me something. I know it all. Now, we don't, but we think we do. But what if Pastor Carter said, open the Word of God to, and you opened it up and you said, revival break out. My heart standeth in awe. This is the Word of God. Did you know the word awe is found three times in the Bible? All three times are in Psalms. The Bible says that that all the earth fear the Lord, that all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of God. And then he said, commune with your own heart, be still. And he said, stand in awe and sin not. There are three things that you ought to stand in awe of. What sin will do to you. As we mentioned last night, take you further than you want to go, make you pay more than you want to pay, make you stay longer than you want to stay. If you only knew what sin would do to you, you would say, how could I, so innocent, so nice and loving and kind and have a heart for God, how could I end up like that? By not standing in awe of what sin will do to you. You see, we think we can flirt with it, play around with it, see how close we can get without really getting messed up in it. But once you do it, that's the deception of sin. Once you do it, you never know how far you're going to go. You think, I'm only going to do this one time. I'm only going to cheat one time. I'm not going to do this anymore. You don't know that. Sin's deceiving. You need to stand in awe of what sin will do to you. If someone tries to get you to sin, you run. Just don't do it. Stand in awe of God. You know, your biggest battle in life will be with God, not the devil. With God. It is easier to say no to the devil than it is to say yes to God. If that weren't true, there'd be a lot more people saying yes to God. And you need to stand in awe of the Scriptures. Though the cover is worn, the pages are torn, though places bear traces of tears. Yet more precious than gold is the book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look in the precious old book, many pleasures and treasures I see. Many tokens of love from the Father above who's nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it today. To this book I will cling, of its worth I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine. For I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. How did you feel when you got the Bible a while ago after you gave up your car and your vacation? This ought to be the most priceless treasure that you have. What would you take for your Bible if you knew you could never get another one? Why does Chan McMillan give of himself to get Bibles into places where Bibles have not been before? Because everybody ought to hear from God.
Amen.
Everybody ought to have a word of God, word from God. If you knew what your Bible would do for you, the Bible says in Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. And in these 176 verses, there have been occasions when I have found three verses that did not say something about the Word, the law, the commandments, the statutes, the precepts, something about the Word of God. And then one day I think I counted six. It depends on what you do with the word ordinances, if you're talking about the ordinances of the heavens as opposed to the ordinance of the Bible. But no more than six verses in those 176, no more than six, omit something about the Bible. All the rest have something to say about the Word of God. Now, whoever wrote Psalm 119, and I think it was David, loved God's Word. And he loved God. Now, here's the amazing thing. Almost all of the verses talk about the Bible, but every one of the 176 verses talk about God. He's either mentioned by name or pronoun. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. If you want to get to the heart of God, you're going to have to go through the Word of God. David said, my heart stands in awe of thy word. One day some people came to Jesus. And now they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the spirit world. But they did have an agreement they're going to trap Jesus if they can. You can never trap Jesus. So they said, we have a story. Now they had gotten a lot of mileage out of this story before. They said there were seven men, brothers. And the first guy married this woman, and he didn't have any children, and he died. Now there was a law in the Old Testament called the Levirate Law, that if a guy married someone and he didn't have any children, he died, his brother is supposed to marry her. Now what that does, that makes you take an interest in who your brother's dating. Now if you're not convinced that if he kicks the bucket and you have to step in, I don't think I want to marry that one. Hey brother, let's look elsewhere. It's sort of like this guy walked into this restaurant followed by an ostrich. You know, when I hear some stories, the first line many times tells me if I'm going to like this story or not. I like this story. Now, I want to know, what in the world is a guy doing walking into a restaurant followed by an ostrich? So he sits down and the waitress comes over and says to him, may I help you? He said, well, I'd like to have two eggs scrambled and bacon well done and some toast. And the lady looked at the ostrich, and the ostrich said, I'll have the same. So when the bill was given to him, it was $8.47, so he just reached in his pocket, he pulled the money out, laid the money down, and he left. And the ostrich left with him. Well, he comes back later, and he orders lunch. He orders up a turkey sandwich with lettuce and tomato, sweet iced tea, and a little hand salad, a little small bowl salad, and the ostrich said, I'll have the same. So when the lady came back and laid the bill down, and it was $14.36, so he just reached in his pocket, and he laid the money down, and he left. Well, he came back for that evening service, and the waitress came over, and he said, I would like to have a ribeye steak. I'd like to have it medium well to well. I'd like to have a baked potato loaded. I'd like to have a little salad. I'd like to have a cup of coffee. And the ostrich said, I'll have the same. So when the lady gave him the bill was $37.14, so he just reached in his pocket, and he pulled out money, laid it down, left. And he's about to walk out the door, and the waitress said, sir, you've been here three times. said that every time I have given you the bill, you have always pulled out the exact change out of your pocket. How do you do that? He said, well, I was walking down the beach one day and I found this bottle, had a cork, I uncorked it, and this genie popped out. And he told me that he would give me two wishes for releasing him from his captivity. So I said, well, I wish that anytime I would go to buy anything, no matter what it is, I could pull the exact amount of money out of my pocket. He said, it works every time, no matter what I buy. She said, well, what about the ostrich? He said, no, that was a mistake. He said, what I asked for was a long-legged chick that would agree with me on everything. So the guy that was married to the woman, he died, didn't have any children. His brother married her. He died, and the brother married her. And all seven men had this woman. They're talking to Jesus about this. And they all seven had this woman. And the Bible says, and they said, last of all, the woman died also. Well, it's about time. I mean, should a woman outlive seven husbands? Did this woman have a deal with the florist or the mortuary or something? I mean, all these husbands are dying, she dies. Now, here's the question. They told that story just to get to this point. Who is going to get her in the resurrection? See, they didn't believe in the resurrection. Who's going to be married to her in the resurrection? You can just see these guys now. They're just sort of snuggly. Watch it. And I told you a while ago, you don't trap Jesus. He said, you do err. And you err in two areas. Number one, he said, you don't know the scriptures. And you don't know the power of God. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor give it in marriage. There's no problem that any high school, junior high school, whatever grade you're in over here, or college kid, or mom or dad, or grandma are here today. There's no problem that any of us have, but what the scriptures and the power of God couldn't take care of. If we just knew what the Bible had to say. Jesus is not going to let you get off easy. First of all, he believed the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. He used the scriptures. When the devil came to him and tempted him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every time he was tempted, he gave an answer out of something that every one of us have a copy of, the Bible, namely the book of Deuteronomy. He used the scriptures. But he said again and again in the Gospels, have ye never read? He's going to ask us someday, did you never read the Bible? Didn't you read that? Was your mind engaged when you read the Bible? Didn't you believe what you read? Have ye never read? See, our problem is we don't read it. See, I don't have to read it because I go to a church that defends it. I don't have to read the Bible. My pastor reads the Bible. My Sunday school teacher reads the Bible. My professor, my teacher, they read the Bible. Oh, no. You got to read the Bible. Yeah. You know, it's sort of like kissing. Do you want somebody else to do your kissing? I think I have struck a soft spot on this kissing thing. This one guy, he said, I pressed a kiss to her lips. I could not help but linger. And as I ran my hand through her hair, a cootie bit my finger. Now, there are sometimes I have told you stuff that I apologize before I tell it. See, if I apologize before I tell it, it doesn't count, okay? I pressed the kiss to her lips. It was romance I was seeking. I missed her mouth and got her nose and found that it was leaking. Well, that's good for going to lunch, isn't it? Webster says a kiss is like a gentle caress, a touch. Well, you'd almost think he ain't never had one. It might be that, but I tell you what, it's a whole lot more than that. Now, some of you will have to wait a while before you really get one. Amen. when Miss Condon and her fiance get married on May the 11th, they can get one. You want to do your own kissing. You want to do your own Bible reading. And sometimes while you're doing that, God will let you have a nugget. And when you find one of those, here's the key. If God shows you something in the Bible, don't say, oh, that's nice. Call one of your buddies. Call one of your friends. Let me tell you what I found in the Bible today. Now, don't think he's already seen it, because maybe he has, maybe he hadn't. But you hadn't. And you want to share it. So just call them up and say, here's what I found in the Bible today. Now, those of you who are on the receiving end of that, if your buddy calls you up and says, I want to tell you what I found in the Bible today, get excited like they are. Oh, that's good. Thank you for telling me that. First of all, it might be something you never heard before. My heart standeth in awe. Let's all try that. Turn in the Bible to Psalm 119. That's a whole lot better than. You have a hand? I want you to hold your hand up. There are five things that you can do the Bible. One is you can hear it, read it, study it, memorize it, and meditate or think about it. So let's try this. You can hear it, read it, study it, memorize it, and meditate on it. Think about it. Let's try it together. You can hear it, read it, study it, memorize it, and meditate on it. Let's do it again. You can hear it, read it, study it, memorize it, and meditate on it. Now you do it without me helping you. You can. Now, you probably think, why did I bring this in here? Now, this is a sword. It is important to know the difference between the handle and the blade. How many of you would agree with me that that is important to know the difference? Just so there's no mistaking, this is the handle. This is the blade. It is very important for you to be able to get a grip on the sword. So that you could use it. This is almost a two-handed sword. This one seems like it might be even a little double-edged, and it'll get you going and coming. But you need to be able to get a good grip on the sword. Amen. If you're going to have a good grip on the sword of the Spirit, Amen. Which is the Word of God. Now, let me... can I borrow you, young man? Come on up here just a second. What's your name?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, come on up, Jonathan. Jonathan, you go to school here?
Yes, sir.
You do? Good. And what year are you in?
Second.
And you like it around here?
Oh, yes, sir.
You having a good day today?
Pretty good, man.
Good. Yes, Jonathan, I want Jonathan to be the devil for me for just a moment. He is not the devil. Jonathan is a good kid. Is that right? Okay. Jonathan's a good kid. Jonathan's going to be the devil for me for just a moment. Now, this is the sword of the Spirit. This is something that we ought to stand in awe of. Now, if all you do is when you come to chapel or you come to church, if all you do is hear the Bible, I'm going to assume that you're at least going to think about what you've heard. Would that be fair? So, if that's all you're going to do is hear, then here's the grip that you get on the sword. Not a real good grip. The old devil comes up because he loves to come and trip you up. Mr. Devil, try to get my sword from me. Well, that wasn't too tough, was it? Matter of fact, that's pretty easy. I said, you know, I don't want the devil to get the best of me. I want to be a victory in Jesus, Christian. I want to have victory in my life. And so I heard the preacher say, not only should I hear it, I ought to read it. Now, how many of you have a Bible? This is pretty personal, but how many of you know how to read? Okay. If you can read and you got a Bible, then you ought to hear it and then start reading it. You're going to hear the Bible and you're going to read the Bible and you're going to think about what you've heard and what you've read. And the old devil's going to come up. He tries to do that all the time. Now, try to get my Bible. It's a little tougher, wasn't it? I'm growing. But I don't want the devil to get the victory over me. I want to be a good Christian. And I heard the preacher say that I ought to start studying the Bible. Now, to study the Bible is that you're going to look at this passage in light of that passage. You're going to compare and analyze, and you're going to induct and deduct, and you're going to look at all these things and get out of concordance and look up this word and read this passage and look at that passage. So now you are studying the Bible. So if you're going to hear it and read it and study it and think about what you've heard, read, and studied, this is the grip that you're going to get on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, Mr. Devil, try to get my Bible from me. A little tougher, wasn't it? Feel that. I'm growing. But I heard the preacher say, now I can't believe the preacher would actually say this. He knows I can't memorize. He actually said, I ought to hide God's word in my heart, I ought to memorize the Bible. Amen. Now all of you can memorize. Yep. You tell us you can't, but you can. You didn't have to have a map to get in chapel today. I know some of you just followed like the others, but you don't have to have a map to get home tonight, and you do know a lot of things, and you know Bible, rather baseball scores, and you know all these kinds of things, and so you can memorize the Bible. You know, there was a guy from Eastern Kentucky, his name was Russell Anderson. Russell Anderson was a guy who made a lot of money in drywall, and he's a millionaire. He's given away millions of dollars to the work of God, the cause of Christ. Suppose that Russell Anderson all of a sudden walked in this back door back here, and he has a wheelbarrow full of $100 bills. And he rolls this wheelbarrow down the aisle here, and he comes up here and he said, Pastor Carter, with your permission, may I say something? And so we also, yes, you may say something. And he said, these are nice, crisp $100 bills. And I'm going to give everybody in this room a crisp $100 bill on Sunday for every Bible verse that you learn between today, Tuesday, and Sunday. Is everybody with me? And all you have to do is memorize a verse by the time you get back to church on Sunday. Now, how many of you think, maybe, possibly, you might have a verse down by Sunday? How many of you are thinking, how much do I owe on that Visa card? How many would I have to memorize to be debt-free? You see, if you got motivated, you could do it. Now, I want you to know, Russell Anderson is not going to walk in those doors back there. He is not going to push a wheelbarrow full of $100 bills down here. But the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy ways. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. So you're going to start hiding the word of God in your heart. Now, if you do that, you're going to hear it because you're going to show up in church. And you're going to read it because you're supposed to. And you're going to study it because you need to. And you're going to memorize it so you can have it in your side, in your heart, inside you. When you do that, it's sort of like a good grip. When you do that, hear it, read it, study it, memorize it, think about it, you're going to get a good grip on the Word of God. Now the old devil's going to show up. Try to get it now, Mr. Devil. Devil, get out of here. Get out of here, devil. Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan, thank you, sir. Jonathan, you're going to get $5 from me for being the devil for just a little while. That's good money, isn't it? Now, the devil, he didn't pay good like that. But the preacher's going to pay you $5 for doing that. You want to get a good grip on the Word of God? Then you got to hear it. And you got to read it. And you got to study it. And you got to memorize it. And you got to think about all of those things. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Wouldn't it be amazing that someone would sit in a church like Landmark Baptist Church, who for years have been a champion of the King James Bible, and for us to sit there and never read it, or rarely, never study it, sometimes, never hide His word in our heart. Don't even read it. For years, I started years ago, I read the Bible every day. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you a fact. I read something in the Bible every day.
Do you read the Bible every day?
He said, Brother Strange, I go to Landmark Christian School.
I didn't ask you that. You read the Bible every day?
I go to Landmark Baptist College.
I didn't ask that. I'm a member of Landmark Baptist Church. I didn't ask that. You read the Bible every day? Why don't you start today? Today is April the 17th, 2012. How many of you would take the challenge, if you don't read the Bible every day right now, you'll take the challenge between now and the time school starts back up this fall. See, I'm not asking to sign your life away. I'm just between now and when school starts back up. You're not in the habit of every day reading the Bible. You will take that challenge. You will take that challenge. Now, nobody's looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you'll take that challenge, you don't read it every day, but you will. Would you just stand up where you are right now? Just stand up. Just stand up. You'll take that challenge? Young people, will you take that challenge? Do you read the Bible every day? I'm telling you, you'll find the Bible has some wonderful reading in it. Anyone else? Just stand up and remain there. We'll have prayer for you. Would you do that? Would you stand up? And get in on this prayer. You want to take that challenge? God's going to ask you someday. Did you ever read it? Our Father, in Jesus' name, for those who have stood, that they're going to read the Bible. Lord, would you let the Bible be exciting for them? May they learn things in there that thrill their soul, that build them up in the most holy faith. May they desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. May their hearts stand in awe of thy Word. May they rejoice when they read thy Word. Change their life. Make them wise. Make them happy. Throw light on things. Just help them.